Text number 27. Tasmim stada labda ruchir mahamate kriyashravasya skalita matir mama yayaham etat sadasat swamayaya pashye mayi brahmani kalpitam pari. Tasmin stada labda ruchir mahamati priyashravasya skalita matir mama yayam etat sadasat swamayaya pashye mayi brahmani kalpitam pari. Tasmin, it being so, tada, at that time, labda, achieved, ruche, taste, mahamate, O great sage, priyashravasi, upon the Lord. Can that be turned back on? Askalita mati. Uninterrupted attention. Mama. Mine. Yaya. By which? Aham. I. Etat. All these. Sat asat, gross and subtle, swamayaya, one's own ignorance, pashye, see, mayi, in me, brahmani, the supreme, kalpita is accepted pari in the transcendence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O great sage, as soon as I got a taste of the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching, and as my taste developed, I could realize that it was only in my ignorance that I had accepted gross and subtle coverings, for both the Lord and I are transcendental. Purport. Ignorance in material existence is compared to darkness, and in all Vedic literature the personality of Godhead is compared to the sun. Wherever there is light, there cannot be darkness. Hearing of the Lord's pastimes is itself transcendental association with the Lord, because there is no difference between the Lord and his transcendental pastimes. To become associated with the supreme light is to dissipate all ignorance. By ignorance only, the conditioned soul wrongly thinks that both he and the Lord are products of material nature. When ignorance is removed, and it is perfectly realized that there is nothing existing without the personality of Godhead, then nescience is removed. Since the gross and subtle bodies are emanations from the personality of Godhead, the knowledge of light permits one to engage both of them, the gross and subtle bodies, in the service of the Lord. The gross body should be engaged in acts of rendering service to the Lord. The gross body should be engaged in acts of rendering service to the Lord, as in bringing water, cleansing the temple, or making obeisances, etc. the path of archana, or worshipping the Lord in the temple, involves engaging one's gross body in the service of the Lord. Similarly, the subtle mind should be engaged in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, thinking about them, chanting his name, etc. All such activities are transcendental. None of the gross or subtle senses should be otherwise engaged. Such realization of transcendental activities is made possible by many, many years of apprenticeship in the devotional service. But simply attraction of love for the personality of Godhead, as it was developed in Narada Muni by hearing, is highly effective. Narada Muni didn't spend many years. Narada Muni spent a few weeks, maybe, or a few months at the most, practicing devotional service, because he was practicing on the higher level, the intensive course, advanced course of Raghunuga Bhakti. Yeah. Of spontaneous attraction. We don't have that attraction, most of us. Therefore, we have to practice the regular course of regulated devotional service, Vaidhi Bhakti. But that is also a very effective course. It just takes more time. What does Prabhupada say here? Okay. Rupa Goswami wrote this book right here, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada presented it in his summary study as the Nectar of Devotion. It is the textbook of devotional service. Some describe it as the Vyakarana of Krishna consciousness. It's like, before you can read Sanskrit literature, you have to study Vyakarana, grammar. This is our grammar book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You want to understand devotional service, you have to understand rasa. And rasa, now I can't breathe. I have to either put the fan on or open one of the windows. AC is coming up here. Okay. But, yes? It's okay, please. Rasa. Transcendental tastes of loving service to Krishna. That's what he wrote this book about. This book is about real devotional service. The real thing. In which you experience bliss. Many varieties of bliss. It's a vast ocean of nectar. Bhakti, Rasamrita, Sindhu. Ocean. Not just a cup of water. 150 grams. But billions of liters of water. Vast ocean. If you taste one drop of that bhakti rasa, one fraction of a drop, that will give you so much pleasure, so much satisfaction, that you will never again ever be attracted to anything material, anything inferior, including sex and whatever else attracts you, money, stimulation of intoxication, whatever it is, you know, a good meal, a chance to sleep for 6 hours, whatever gives you pleasure will not be attractive at all anymore once you taste even one drop of this bhakti rasa. This is Rupa Goswami's, at least his proposition. Maybe it isn't true. Maybe you don't believe it. But that's his claim. That's the basis of our belief and our philosophy. Our founding acharya is Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. We're Rupanugas, and this is our philosophy. This is our belief. Our proposition, our presumption. Axiom. Basic principle. Maybe we haven't. We can look at ourselves and say, maybe I haven't tasted a drop yet. because I'm still experiencing so many material desires that are giving me difficulty and obstructing my devotional life. Okay, that's life. We haven't yet tasted one drop of the ocean of nectar devotion, but Rupa Goswami allows for that. And he describes in the earlier chapters, the first section of his book, how you can practice devotional service even if you don't have that taste. Tasmin tada labdha ruchir. Narada is at the point that he has that taste. And so his service attitude is totally fixed. Nothing can sway him. Okay, we're not at that stage, but Rupa Goswami teaches us how we can gradually, by accepting some discipline of bhakti yoga, come gradually to that point. By very simple and effective practices, we can clear out all the contamination in our hearts and gradually develop attraction for Krishna. And we will eventually taste not only one drop, we will become drowned in that ocean of nectar, of bhakti rasa. That's the purpose of the program. The doctor says, I'm going to treat your disease. It will be a difficult treatment. I can't guarantee success. It will be long and difficult. But if you are successful eventually, you will recover your health. And you'll be able to leave this hospital and go out and live your normal life again. And better than before. I'll make you more healthy than you were before you came to me. So that is what Rupa Goswami is offering. We'll become much better off than we were before if we can carry out this simple process. He describes that there are difficulties. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi, these are Rupa Goswami's words. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi, Nabhave Grahyam Indriyai. First problem is, okay, we're supposed to remember Krishna's name and his form and his glories and his attractive features and his pastimes. But those things can't even be accessed by the material mind and senses. Especially when the material mind and senses are completely distracted by contrary things, very material things. And as a consequence, we don't even have much interest in Krishna and his qualities. We're not interested. We have the books on our shelves at home. How often do we pick them up? We're not interested. We have time, but we're too tired. We'd rather turn on the television or pick up a newspaper. We just don't feel the taste. So the problem is there. That you, first of all, you cannot remember Krishna. You cannot contact Krishna with your material mind and senses. Remembering Krishna is not a mental exercise. It cannot be done by the mind. It has to be done by the pure heart. But Rupa Goswami says still it can be done. Sevon muke hi jiva dal swayameva spuratyudaha. All of your mental and physical endeavors will not succeed in catching Krishna. But Krishna will reveal himself if you purify your mind and senses. Sevon muke. By redirecting the focus of your mind and senses to the service of Krishna. There are simple ways to practice serving Krishna, even though we have no love. We have no much of an inclination to serve Krishna. We don't have much interest or desire to serve Krishna. But if we know what's good for us, we'll practice serving him anyway. And the practice is easy and simple and pleasant. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote his song, Sharira Vidyo Jal, Jodhin Dvaya Tahe Kal. This is our breakfast song. The senses are a network of paths, a network leading to death. We have the internet and local networks. We have the neural network in our nervous system, and it's a network leading to death. Entanglement in sense gratification that ends in sickness, old age, and death. That's the life, material life of sensory indulgence on the internet of the senses. Jhurindriya Tahika, and the central processor of that network is the tongue. Jive Bili. Especially the senses, but especially the tongue, is the most voracious of senses. Hi, Krishna. The senses are the nodes, or the powerhouses, centers of energy of this network of illusion. But the most powerful, uncontrollable of all those senses is the tongue. We use the tongue to eat, and a person who has uncontrolled eating habits is eating sinful things, eating garbage, eating the results of violence, swallowing dead corpses. But the tongue has other business too. That is the input. The output of the tongue is talking. And a non-devotee of Krishna talks so much nonsense. As much nonsense as he puts in, that's how much nonsense comes out in the form of nonsense talk. That can be fixed. To turn the mind toward Krishna, that's not easy. Because the mind is very subtle. The mind is not easily controlled. The mind is unsteady, constantly changing. You can't grasp the mind. Pramati dur nigraham chalom. What is asamshayam maha? No, that was Krishna's answer. Arjuna tells Krishna that the mind is very difficult to control. Tasiham nigraham manhe vayari vasudushkaram. I think that getting control over the mind is more difficult than trying to control the wind. The scientists in the field of meteorology, of weather prediction, have made great progress in that, in using computers to forecast the weather in the near future. At least for the next 2 weeks, say, they can guess what's going to happen in the weather. But they cannot do much to change the weather. You know, tornado is coming, hurricanes are coming, cyclones are coming, terrible, dangerous storms. All they can do is warn the people, evacuate. They don't know how to stop these storms. They make some feeble attempt, but they have not developed techniques to really change the weather. Like that, the mind, the wind cannot easily be controlled. You can predict which way the wind's going to blow, but to make the change how it's going to blow is not easy. To control the wind is practically impossible. And Arjuna says, controlling your own mind is just as difficult as trying to control the wind. And Krishna says, you're right, Arjuna. I don't disagree with you. But abhyasena tu kaunteya, vairagyena tu grihyate. If you practice by right means, and you try to develop a sense of detachment from material things, you can succeed. I will help you. And in his special appearance as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thank you, Krishna is making it particularly easy. All we have to do is remember Krishna's names. Hear and chant these names. It takes a little bit of vibration, of one simple muscle. You know, if you want to do some athletic activity, you've got to train your muscles. You want to run a race or swim or shoot arrows with a bow. You've got to practice muscular skills. You have to train up many muscles. Just to walk, a three-year-old child who learns how to walk, or a two-year-old child learning to walk, is learning a very complex operation that involves many muscles and coordination, very complex coordination. They try to teach computers how to walk, robots. It's practically impossible. The robots, you know, walk one step and fall over. You know? All the, you know, computer engineers in Japan can't make a robot walk. So muscular skills have to be learned to do anything active. But the chanting Hare Krishna only involves wiggling your tongue a little bit, you know, moving only one muscle. And saying, there's only three different syllables, three different words. You know, Hare Krishna Rama. That's all you have to do. And listen to it. You have to, you know, use your ear, which is a very easy sense to use. No moving parts, no, you know, inside the inner ear, there's, you know, something's wiggling, but, you know, not much, no conscious effort required to use your ear. You just have to not be listening to 10 other things at the same time. Just be a little attentive and hear what you're saying. Say these syllables and hear them. That's all you have to do. That's the basis of the process. Harinam Sankirtana, offered to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nam Nam Kalipo, Dhani Jasarva Shaktis. You have imparted in these names all of your potencies. God is supremely potent. He is supremely pure. He can purify anybody. Lord Nityananda purified, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda saved Jagai and Madai. The worst sinners that could be found. They can save anybody. We're not that bad that Lord Chaitanya can't save us. Don't think we're that bad. We're not the most anything. Certainly not the most sinful. There are plenty of people worse than us. And they can be saved. We can be saved. And the means of salvation is very simple. Loho Krishna Nam. Just take Krishna's names. Take shelter of Krishna's names. What else? How more easy can it be made? There's a little trust and a minimum of endeavor. That's all. So Narada, he's going through a quick course because he's got a lot of trust. He easily, naturally, because he had a predisposition to it, became attractive very quickly. Okay, we're taking a long time becoming attractive. Years, decades, maybe even lifetimes. But the result will be the same. You know, okay, we took a long time. Narada only took a few weeks. He gets more credit. But we can get the same benefit anyway. Okay, we're not Narada Muni. Yeah, we can't compete with Narada Muni. But we can get the same result that he got. Even without being as good as him. It'll just take more time. And maybe a little more struggle. Maybe a lot more struggle. But we can also accomplish the same. And the means is actually easy. The means are easy. Basically the same means that Narada uses. This is, we're using it on a different level. We have to practice it. We don't have the taste, so we have to make ourselves chant Hare Krishna. We have to go. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati advised his disciples, when you get up in the morning, you should, I don't know which one came first, in the morning you should beat your brain, your mind, not physically. Beat your mind with a broom 100 times.
Beat your mind?
With a broom 100 times, with a jago. And when you go to sleep at night, you should beat your mind again with a shoe 100 times, or maybe backwards, maybe with backwards. He didn't mean physically beat yourself. No, we're not masochists. But he meant that you should force yourself to give attention to Krishna. You stupid mind, give up that nonsense and listen, pay attention to Krishna's names. You know, we have to do that. We have to by force, if necessary, make ourselves do what we should be naturally attracted to, but we don't have the natural attraction. Rupa Goswami, in his other book, the short book, Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, 11 verses, one of the verses says that a person who has jaundice, hepatitis, cannot stand the taste of sugar. But in Ayurveda, it's prescribed that one should take misri as treatment for kamala or jaundice, hepatitis. That this sugar cane candy is therapeutic. But a person who has that disease, this bile backed up in the system, to him sugar tastes horrible, bitter, and he doesn't want to take that medicine. You should take it anyway, it's medicine. And it isn't actually bitter, but because of your disrupted digestive system, you think it's bitter. Take the sugar, it will purify your liver, and you'll again recover the sense of sweetness. So chant these names, even though picking up these japa mala beads are like picking up bowling balls that weigh 8 kilos each. You know, do it anyway.
Picking up?
Bowling, they have bowling.
Over there
in Mathura Road, this place, fun and, eat and drink and be merry, and you can go bowling.
Bowling,
yes. The balls are very heavy.
Yeah.
So even if your japa beads feel like that, like bowling balls, you can't tolerate to pick them up, do it anyway. No. Because if you practice, the taste will come back. You'll recover the natural taste. So for some it's hard. Narada wasn't too hard. Although he had a bad beginning. He was born the son of a Shudrani, disreputable lady, looked at as like a prostitute, not a well-respected lady, and he was her son. But he got good fortune. He got the association of Vaishnavas who were kind to him, and he had the inclination from his past life to be attracted to Krishna. So he very easily got his success in a short time. And for us, it may be difficult. It may take a longer time. But the result is the same. The nectar, the ocean of the nectar of devotion, tastes as sweet whether you easily jumped into it or whether it was a great struggle. Whether you've been there all along or whether you've been absent from it for many millions of lifetimes. Once you come back to it, the experience is the same. So, that's what Narada is telling his disciple, Vyasa. Don't be discouraged. Vyasa was feeling discouraged. I don't even know why he told Narada. Why I feel dissatisfied. I thought I did everything right. I compiled the Vedas. I wrote the Vedanta Sutra for the philosophers. And for the non-philosophers, I wrote the Mahabharata for everybody else. And still I feel like my work is incomplete. And Narada is telling him, yes, it's incomplete. What you have to do is write something else that actually fully presents, explicitly presents, the glories of the personality of Godhead. That only, those glories, are what will purify the living entities, especially in this Kali Yuga, of all their contamination. Krishna's name and Krishna's fame. This is our cure. This is our medicine. Okay, so I'll stop. Any questions or comments?
Krishna's name and Krishna?
Fame. Yasha's fame is glorious as presented in books like the Srimad Bhagavatam. Any questions? Well, that means followers of Rupa Goswami. We follow the path that he established. He established our methodology. We follow the method that he taught. Method of practicing, the way that we practice Krishna consciousness, is the way that Rupa Goswami taught us. The style of devotion, the mood of devotion, is Rupa Goswami's mood. That's the, we may have different rasas, but the, like the chief rasa, the official rasa of our sampradaya, is the rasa, the mood of Rupa Goswami. We worship that as the ideal. Whether we actually attain that rasa or some other rasa, we may be not gopis, we may not be something else, but still our leader is Rupa Goswami. So we're Rupa Nukas, followers, faithful followers of Rupa Goswami. We may be way behind him, but we're following him. Really, the picture on the 500 rupee note, this, you know, Gandhi in front and the people are marching behind him. Like that, we're all marching behind Rupa Goswami. They should redesign. Why do they have to have Gandhi on every note? He's already on the 1 rupee note, the 500. So but instead you can put Rupa Goswami on the 500 rupee note. Some variety.
It is said that we should not read more than 19 chapters of Nectar of Devotion.
Really?
One devotee was telling me that we should not read more than 19 chapters.
You read 19 chapters 7 times and then read the rest of it. Prabhupada said that all of his disciples should read the whole Bhaktivedanta Samhita Sindhu and read it 7 times and then you'll begin to understand it. And he said to read the whole thing. I don't know about this other version of only read 19 chapters. We used to New York temple evening 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, it was 8 o'clock. Everybody would take milk together in the temple and listen to Nectar of Devotion. And we read the whole book every night. We didn't stop. We didn't stop in 19 chapters. And Prabhupada didn't tell us it was wrong. Okay. 19 chapters is the easy part, yes. That's sadhana bhakti. But Prabhupada presented the book for his disciples to read. Otherwise, why did he publish the whole thing? Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he wanted to publish this esoteric book, Govinda Lilamrita, which describes intimate passages. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him, you print one copy for yourself. Publish one copy. So that much, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted that not be published. But Prabhupada took the Nectar Devotion, he translated it into English and simplified it, the whole book, and printed millions of copies. Because he didn't want us to read the whole thing? Doesn't make sense.
Is it compulsory that you read 7 times in the
19th,
or one can read it?
No, I'm just responding to the idea. I never heard I didn't hear from Prabhupada that we should only read 19 chapters. He said we should read the whole thing 7 times. Don't complain that you can't understand it. Read it 7 times first. Then try to understand it.
Yes.
Yes.
So this is so auspicious, one cannot imagine. So during this time, people who are not even chanting, not even in Krishna consciousness, but they have heard or said it for once or twice.
Yes.
What is the, because this name in Satyuga nobody knew Krishna or Dvaita or Dhapuri, but nobody knew Krishna. But in Kaliyuga people know and they are not Krishna consciousness, but since they've heard it and said it a few times,
yes.
What is the benefit even if they have a sinful life?
That's a Gyata Sukriti. They're doing a little bit of devotional service, so they will get opportunity to do much more. In this lifetime they'll get some opportunities to actually engage in devotional service properly. They may not take advantage. They may avoid the opportunities. And therefore it may not be until another lifetime that they actually change. But eventually they'll become attracted. to properly practicing Krishna's service. But if you say Krishna's name even unintentionally, you know, then Lord Krishna Bank. Yeah, you go to the Lord Krishna Bank and put your money in the bank. You know, that's also a Gyata Sankirti. So that's very auspicious. The benefit is that you've done a little bit of devotional service. And you'll be able to do more in the future. Beginning of your success in life. Actually, in previous ages, people knew about Krishna. Krishna's fame is eternal. Not that, you know, before 5,000 years ago, nobody ever heard of Krishna. They heard him. But they didn't know how to serve him so much. You know, the easy way to serve Krishna by simply chanting his names, that wasn't understood until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented it. It wasn't understood by many people. But Krishna was there. He's very famous always. He's glorified in the Puranas. The fame of Krishna and his Leela is always there, always eternal. Lord Ramachandra appeared 2 million years ago. People still remember him. So it's not, you know, only in Chaitanya Yuga that Ramachandra is remembered. He's remembered now, 2 million years later. So Krishna is remembered more famous than Ramachandra. He's remembered millions of years before and millions of years after his appearance. But you can remember Krishna but not know how to serve him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving us easy clues to how to serve Krishna.
I thought that in Satyavati people used to remember Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. And they only knew Vishnu,
Krishna, but they didn't understand. They thought Krishna is just another avatar. Vishnu has as many avatars, Krishna is one of them. That's what they thought. It's not they were ignorant of Krishna, they just didn't understand. Krishna is the original Vishnu. That they didn't understand. Most people didn't understand, some did. So Krishna becomes hated in the sense that he doesn't seem like as important. Krishna is a coward boy, and he's not very, you know, not very proper boy. He has, you know, so many illicit affairs with other people's wives, you know. So they are sort of embarrassed at Krishna, so they push him in this, you know, they don't think much about him. You know, this strange form of God, Krishna. God is everything, so he can also be a lusty boy. But they don't realize Krishna is the original Godhead. That they don't realize. But they know he's there, they just don't understand him. Yes, ma'am? They can be imported from some other universe. And Krishna always sends some pure devotees to keep the world afloat, even in the worst times. There's always a few good people around. So, at the end of Kali Yuga, Vishnu Yasha may be the last good Brahman left, the last Vaishnava left on the face of the earth. But he's there, and Kali takes birth as his son. Yeah. Then he reestablishes Satya Yuga after killing almost everybody.
How can people spend these 4 lakh years? And
hardly. gets worse and worse. Yes? Narayan Rishi are sitting up there in the Himalayas, and they're invisible to most people. So most people don't have much access to Narayan. Their disciples were rishis. Other people can't even find them. You know, you can go up to Badrinath. It'll take you 3 days. It's a dangerous trip. Some people don't survive the trip. Cars run off the roads and, you know, down the mountains. You can go there and you can go visit the temple and see the murtis, but you won't find the rishis. They're hiding. Narayan Rishi are not available to most people. So most people don't get the benefit anyway, even though they're up there. I mean, their disciple is Narada. Their chief disciple. Narada, oh yes. And you see the altar there, there's five murtis. One of them is Narada. He's on the altar also. He's the chief disciple of Narayan. And we are getting our teachings from Narada. We're not direct disciples of Narayan. We're disciples of indirectly through Narada. Narada is teaching the general public. Narayan are specialists. They just teach the teachers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the planet, the whole universe was emptied. Everyone went back to Godhead. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Jarikanda forest, the whole universe was liberated. And then it was repopulated. Repopulated. Haridas Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani explains, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book. Lord Chaitanya asks Haridas Thakur to explain what happened. Haridas Thakur says, not hard to understand. There are many living entities who don't have an opportunity to take a material body because there's not enough to go around. There's a waiting list. There are many living entities who don't have a body because there's not enough for everybody. They're sitting in the atoms. Every atom has a jiva soul in it. They're the living entities on the waiting list. And there are many of them. More atoms, more living entities in the atoms than there are living entities living in actual other, you know, what we call living bodies. Even you count all the microbes and small creatures, still there are more atoms than that. And there's a jiva in every atom. Big waiting list. No problem. Even if every one of the living entities go back to Godhead, the ones on the waiting list just take their places. And that was Haridas Thakur's explanation. The universe was immediately repopulated after Lord Chaitanya sent everybody back to Godhead.
Many people are from the waiting list of activity?
Yes. Unless we, you know, are eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya coming back and continue his pastimes. But no, we're, according to that explanation, yes. We weren't even around 500 years ago. We were just sitting in some atom, or we were came from some other universe. Yes?
I'll not say this is a doubt, but whatever. There's one tree in America, redwood tree, the giant sequoia tree, that is said to be some very, 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 very old, extremely old. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just came down 17 years back. But that tree is said to be thousands, according to carbon-14 dating, the tree is said to be very old, saying thousands.
Well, okay.
So, is that...
There are also demigods who live a very long time, millions of years. And it's explained in the Vedanta Sutra, even if a demigod earns liberation, he can't actually leave this world until he finishes his assigned duties. He's been appointed a demigod, he has to stay until the end of the Manvantara. Yavat Adhikaratva. They have to stay in this world, even though they've earned liberation. So there may be a case of a tree or a demigod has to live out the course of its bodily existence. And then, but then, you know, he got his ticket up to Godhead. That's a possible explanation. Okay, or else the jiva that was in that tree went back to Godhead and some other jiva took over the body. Like a ghost can enter your body without you dying, someone else can take over your body without the body dying. So that could happen. Anyway, that's beyond my understanding. I'm just telling you what Haridas Thakur tells Lord Chaitanya in that book. I'm just, you know, I can't give a full explanation of how that works. You know, it's a mysterious thing. How everyone went back to Godhead and the universe was repopulated. That is the opinion of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Harinam Chintamani. And the same idea is also given by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the universe was emptied and then repopulated. So it can happen again. If everyone goes back to Godhead, then there's no problem, there's a big waiting list. And maybe not everybody will go back to Godhead in these 10,000 years. You know, there'll always be a few stubborn people who refuse to accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. There's still going to be some who don't take advantage. Maybe everyone went back to Godhead except for that couple of trees in California. I don't know. They must have been very sinful. If everyone else in the whole universe went back to Godhead, and they didn't. People in California can be very stubborn. So. Anything else? Rupa Goswami is taking the position of the Acharya. Sanatana Goswami is his elder brother, but actually in their spiritual relationship, Rupa Goswami is in their eternal sarupa, Rupa Goswami is the superior. He's the chief of the Manjaris. And Sanatana Goswami is one of his assistants. Although Sanatana Goswami took birth as his older brother, so therefore in their external relationship, Rupa Goswami treats him as guru. But in their eternal spiritual relationship, Rupa Goswami is the superior. Sanatana Goswami did not take as prominent a role as a head of the Sampradaya. He didn't write as many books as Rupa Goswami was the chief author among the Goswamis. Sanatana Goswami wrote a few books, very important books, but he just didn't take the same prominent role. Each of the Goswamis did different services. Rupa Goswami took the service of being the founder of the Sampradaya. Even though he considered Sanatana Goswami his guru. But he did the service on behalf of his guru of being the founder of the modern Krishna consciousness movement. And his guru, Sanatana Goswami, was very pleased by that. He wanted his disciple to take a more prominent role. And that was the desire of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya gave the personal instructions to both of them. Assigned their services personally to each of them. So they're both doing exactly what Lord Chaitanya wanted them to do. They're just different roles to take. One devotee takes a prominent role as an acharya, another devotee doesn't. But they're both men doing very intimate service to Krishna. It's not that only the prominent acharya is dear to Krishna. Krishna doesn't want other devotees to do something else. Yes, I mean, they're both acharyas, but Rupa Goswami is the, you know, we just consider him the leader of our whole sampradaya, the ruling of this. But he considers Sananda Goswami his prabhu, his master. So Sananda Goswami is the param guru of our sacrifice. So like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is the, you know, Prabhupada's guru, but we don't have so much personal relationship with him. Prabhupada, our what we know is Prabhupada. We don't know his guru so much. So we know Rupa Goswami more than we know Sanatana Goswami. Not that Sanatana Goswami is not his superior, but that we don't have the same access to Sanatana Goswami. We have some access. We have his Brihad Bhagavatamrita to other books he wrote, but he's not the same kind of public figure that Rupa Goswami was. Although Rupa Goswami was not a traveling preacher, he mostly sat and wrote books. But it's through that literature that he established himself as the head of the Sampradaya. That was his assignment, what Lord Chaitanya assigned him to do. Senses are Jodhendriya Tahi Kal. He used the word Kal. Kal is like a nerve center. You have chakras in your body, places where the energy converges. Like an electric network, you have power stations, where the energy is boosted and distributed. Like that, that's the senses. The senses collect energy, collect sensations, and then send out sensations. You know, the skin is feeling the heat of a fire. It's collecting energy from the fire. And then sending pain sensations to my brain. That, hey, you're being burned by a fire, get your hand out of the fire. So my skin is telling that. The nerves coming out of my skin are telling me that. Receiving energy and then sending energy impulses in the form of pleasure and pain. Like that, the senses are input-output devices, whatever. They're receiving energy and sending energy. And they're the center of activity in this network of illusion. Pleasure, pain, love, hate, attraction, repulsion. All conducted through the sensory network.
Senses get energy from those chakras.
Well, they're getting impulses, they're getting energy from outside also. Inside the body, they're channeled through the nerve fibers and the chakras, the places where the nerves come together. But the five Gyanendriyas, knowledge acquiring senses, are receiving impulses from outside. The sights, the sounds, the smells, that's energy coming from outside. And we create mental responses inside to those inputs. We send the senses send messages to the mind. Messages of pleasure, pain, attraction, repulsion. And then the mind responds by sending messages back. Things, you know, complex network. But in material life, it's all illusory. It's all illusion, entanglement, suffering, confusion. Neurotic, your nerves, your neural system is working neurotically, unhealthily. Neurotic means, means your nerves are misfunctioning, short-circuited. Thoughts are not in a circle. Just obsessively thinking bad thoughts, same ones over and over again. It's a short circuit in the brain. That's neurosis. Okay, should we stop here? Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.